WWIB. Good morning, 5:45. Time for the best 5 minutes of the day. Let's get a little music and get this going on this 23-degree Tuesday morning heading into Thanksgiving. Good morning, Jason Cairns.
Good morning.
Our question of the morning is, so imagine we're all of us, the Whip family, we say we are family. So imagine we're having Thanksgiving dinner together, and so we've got the turkey, the ham, whatever. We've got the main dish covered. So what side dish or dessert or jello or salad are you bringing to the table and say, oh, you guys got to try this?
That's a good one. I would probably say that I would bring Brussels sprouts with bacon.
Really?
I would. Yeah. You know, I think it's one of those things. I think Brussels sprouts get a bad rap.
Huh.
And for me, for a long time, I think that I did not like them at all, and I had them prepared well.
Mm.
And so I think that, I mean, there's foods I enjoy better, more than that. Really good stuffing, I think, would do it for me. But, you know, I think that would might be what I would do.
On your keto,
hey, you've gotta try
on
it.
Your keto diet, can you have stuffing?
No.
Yeah.
No, I haven't had stuffing in years.
Yeah.
I mean, I love it, but it's been a long time.
It's funny, so. Spiritually, and there's so many things we agree on, but we have food disagreements. One of them is raisins, but another one is, and another is pineapple on pizza. But Brussels sprouts, you're right. I mean, that was some of my worst memories as a child is you cannot get up from this table until you eat those 3 Brussels sprouts. And,
yeah,
like, my siblings would develop tricks on how to hide them. And so my daughter, Grace, took that as a challenge. And so, yes, we have more recently had them. And I don't know about with bacon, but, yes, I guess I haven't settled on a dish yet. But thank you for sharing that. And we'll...
you bet.
Thanks for getting us started. Hey, I've got a wonderful devotion from a guy named Robert Morgan, a Nashville pastor. He's written many books, but this one's called On This Day. It's like bite-sized chunks of church history. And for November 23rd, I thought this striking, considered you wrote a book on John 13 through 17 called Notes from the Upper Room, and they can get devotionals on that as well, which, by the way, I was thinking this weekend, I'm like, that would make a great Christmas present for, like, everybody in the family, the book and the devotion. So a plug on that, and we'll tell people how they can get it. But today's devotion in that, I'll read that at least a little bit. It's called Short, Sick, and Spectacular, and Morgan says this. He says, his was a short, sick, spectacular life. He died before reaching 40. Boy, where'd the voice go there? 40, yet not before leaving an enduring mark. Blaise Pascal, born in France in 1623, was educated in Paris and started making contributions to geometry, physics, and math at age 16. His fame and wealth accumulated quickly, as did his religious inclinations. In January of 1646, his father fell and broke his leg. His nurses were devout Catholics, and Pascal, after extended conversation with them, began taking his Catholic faith seriously. His reputation in the Paris scientific community grew by leaps, and the more he studied nature, the more evidence he saw of the Creator. On this day, November 23rd, 1654, while reading, John 17, Pascal personally encountered Jesus Christ and jotted his impressions on a parchment. Quote, from about 10:30 in the evening until about 12:30, this is capital letters, fire, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, not of the philosophers and scholars, certitude, feelings, joy, peace, this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and the one whom thou hast sent, Jesus Christ. How about that, Pascal?
Yeah, you know, I've heard that story before, and it strikes me every time, you know, that the person who was so well studied actually considered the inventor of calculus, if I remember, was, you know, that particular event in his life was such a key turning point, that, you know, and I think everything else following that really could not hold a candle to that experience of the Holy Spirit. And so just, I think a really neat story. And John 17, I can't disagree there.
Yeah. Jesus is the Upper Room Discourse, those 5 chapters, and you highlighted it. And Such rich. Now, what about for people who, again, Notes from the Upper Room, the book and the devotionals, I think would make great stocking stuffers, wonderful Christmas gifts. We've given a lot of attention to Letters to the Beloved. That's a different read, right? 600-page devotional commentary. Yeah. But what about Notes from the Upper Room? Let's not forget that.
Yeah, so Notes from the Upper Room was published, I don't remember exactly, 2020, I guess it was, mm-hmm. spring of 2020. And it was kind of a walk through the Upper Room discourse, Jesus's last conversation with his disciples. You know, it gets a surprising amount of space in John's gospel for a conversation that lasted just a few hours. And I think we can learn so much about relating well by understanding what Jesus had to say to his disciples. And, you know, so I wrote this book called Notes from the Upper Room, Lessons in Loving Like Jesus. And while I was going through that, I also worked through and did a series of devotionals that are also available. And depending on the day or month, I'm not certain which one I like better. I think they both have really useful, encouraging ideas in them. And they're both available on Amazon. I have them priced relatively low. The actual book itself is $8, and the devotions are as cheap as I could price them, which was $5.69. Mm-hmm. And then on Kindle, they're next to nothing, I think. So I think great opportunity to kind of dive into this important conversation. Great mm-hmm. Christmas gifts, as you've suggested.
Yeah. So, all right, one more conversation tomorrow morning, and then we'll cut you loose until next week Monday, okay?
Perfect. Sounds good.
Hi, this is Sylvia from Sirona. How about homemade dinner rolls? Because those are needed for later to make the leftovers, turkey sandwiches and cranberry sauce and all that kind of stuff, make these marvelous sandwiches the next day or whenever. God bless you. Have a good Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Sylvia. You too. WWIB.
So true.
We are asking you, what are you bringing to our Thanksgiving meal? We take care of the turkey, and you're bringing... I said earlier this morning, I'd bring my wife's broccoli salad, and I don't know that it'll be at our Thanksgiving meal. We're going to my sister's for Friday for the big meal, but nonetheless, it's great. I love it any time of the year, so that's...
You know what? This is our Thanksgiving. You can bring it if you want to.
There we go.
We made something this weekend that was delicious. Cranberry brie bites.
Mm.
It's an appetizer that I ate enough for a dinner. And it's just a really simple thing with crescent roll dough and a little hunk of brie and some cranberry sauce.
Wow.
And then a little bit, and then you just bake it.
It's our second cranberry item. Because
it's our third cranberry item.
Okay.
Yeah, the first appetizer, however.
Ah, yes.
Got to support those Wisconsin cranberry growers. That sounds good because, again, there's a little bite to the cranberries, right, with the cheese.
With the brie.
Not a foodie at all, but I could see, and especially, I love crescent rolls, too.
Me too.
What would I bring?
What would you bring?
Props to Sylvia for mentioning the leftovers, because we've informed you on this show before that leftovers are a crucial part of Thanksgiving dinner, according to survey data. So I think what I would bring is something that, to be honest, there's usually not any leftovers of this, and I'm always a little disappointed. But it's my French soak pie, and I mention this every year. It's not necessarily because I'm so great at making it. It's just because there's so few things in my repertoire that this is what I can make. So
you're kind of famous for this, though.
Yeah, it's a graham cracker crust. And again, heavily whipped French silk, the chocolate in there. And then you don't skimp on the Cool Whip. You put an entire container of Cool Whip on top, and then you shave a Hershey's bar on top of that. So...
That's Catherine's request is a French silk pie.
Yeah, and so I called my mom yesterday because I was thinking, oh, I'll make a couple. And I said, how many people are we having for Thanksgiving? Will a couple pies be enough? How many should I make? And I hear my dad in the background saying, 4. So
that's great.
We'll see how many get made this year.
Well, and this is our first Thanksgiving with Zach. So I said, what do you have any special pies? Or he said, well, my favorite's blueberry. Mm. Immediately, because I've had this drilled into my head, I go, that's not a fall pie. That's a summer pie. He's like, okay, I didn't know there was a wrong answer for my favorite pie. I'm like, well, there is. So
the mother-in-law smackdown.
Goes, cherry. And then Zach has silenced notifications. JK.
Well, people are loving on the cranberries because, I don't know, I hadn't seen Linda earlier said She says, so my mom made this cranberry relish, too. It's very good, and she describes it for us. You grind up one package of fresh cranberries, one orange, one cup of sugar or less, maybe three quarters if you want. And she goes on to say...
Now remember, if they have leftover...
Oh, excuse me, sir. and also, if you can add some pecans or crushed walnuts, and you grind up the orange, she said, it sounds weird, but it tastes great.
No, it sounds delicious.
So,
from Linda. Thank you, Linda.
So, and also, Jeannie, some cranberry wine. So we got some different people bringing all sorts of cranberry. And why not? Wisconsin, famous for our terrific cranberries in the more central part of the state. Now, sir, go ahead.
Now, remember, if they have leftover turkey, put some in a bag and bring it home, okay?
Luckily, my husband brought me some markers so that I'm not limited to just the highlighter color. It's Phil Jacoby. Phil?
Dr. Phil is in the house.
Yes.
Yeah.
Welcome.
I am curious. You always say custard. When I say, what pie do you want? You always say custard. And I always say, I'm not going to make that. But I will this year if you really want it. What are you really looking forward to this Thanksgiving?
I really want a pecan pie.
A pecan pie?
Yes. Pecan pie is delicious.
Yeah, but usually you get a sampler platter.
Well, I would love a sampler platter as well. And custard is good if you put enough sugar on it.
Are there any specific memories attached to pecan pie or custard pie, things that make you say, oh, this is why I love it this time of year?
Well, pecan pie is really comes from Susan and her mom, I think, made it most. I've always liked pecans, and I remember going south one time, and we bought a big bag of pecans because they were super cheap down there. That's where they get them from, I guess. Uh-huh. And so I was excited. It was kind of one of our family trips when I was a teenager. And but I remember getting banana cream pie from my grandmother, my mother's mom, and she used to make custard pie too. That's
yeah.
where I remember that from.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, but I don't know why in our family Thanksgiving is just the pie. Uh-huh. It's the pie holiday.
It's about the pie.
Yeah.
All about the pie.
Thanks, Phil.
Wait, real quick though, Phil, did we mention this that Phil just went and at Susan's behest?
Yes.
Bought markers so that she can continue. This is how Susan goes above and beyond here for this show. We're just saying, hey, what would you bring to our Wake Up Show family Thanksgiving dinner? And Susan has taken upon herself to draw every item that you guys are suggesting. So continue with those at 715-396-1670. Text or leave us a voicemail. What would you be bringing? But Phil, how impressive is her artwork here? She keeps, you know, poo-pooing when we're saying, no, this is really good. This is super impressive.
Yeah, she's an amazing artist, actually.
Yeah.
A natural skill. When I saw her, one time I saw her with some folded up paper, and she had a scissors, and she was intricating, and she pulled it apart, and it was the most intricate.
Origami?
Like, no, it was like.
It was like when you do paper dolls or something, and I made unicorns.
Huh. It was just really,
and
it was
ever
amazing.
Since then, you thought I was a genius.
Yes.
Oh, you are.
Well, the spirit was with me.
There we go.
That's great. Phil and Susan Jacoby, everybody.
Yeah, woohoo!
They'll be guest hosting all next week when Caleb and I vacation. All right, WWIB, yes, Thanksgiving, just a couple of days away. We've been asking you and continue to ask you to contribute on the listener line at 715-396-1670. What you're bringing, we take care of the turkey. And Jerome in Lublin says, you may love it or hate it, but I have to have three bean salad, not too sweet, but not too tart, but just right. Yeah.
I'm not familiar with three bean salad.
Yeah. Huh.
Can anyone elaborate? So it is a savory type of salad?
Yeah,
or?
It must be. It's not one of those Cool Whip salads, which is...
I love Cool Whip salads.
We are missing one of those from our table.
The pistachio salad, that's a standby at the Swenson table. And also the orange salad, which is, again, lots of Cool Whip and mandarin oranges. And Cool Whip based salads are great because it just gets you warmed up for the Cool Whip you're going to have on the pie later on.
When you say Cool Whip salad, I think of like the Snicker apple.
That's also a fantastic one with the Granny Smith apples.
I've never made
generous
that,
chunks of Snickers.
Let's not forget to give... Three bean salad. It's moment in the sun.
Right.
Yes. Sorry, three bean salad.
So well said. You are the host of the morning for sure. I think Caleb and I are voting for you with that.
Okay.
And Phil for husband of the year. All right,
so all of these are peripheral, though, to the main dish, which is, of course, turkey.
Yeah.
And we do have some turkey facts. In fact, we have tons and tons of turkey facts to share with you here on the WIB Wake Up Show. Things you might not have known, but you can talk turkey as you are eating turkey this Thanksgiving.
Can I do the first one? Because I love this about Ben Franklin. Actually, the eagle, which is our national bird, morally is not really the best. The turkey is very noble. Mm. And Ben Franklin, in a letter to his daughter, proposed the turkey as the official United States bird.
Mm. That was something else.
There you go. Good background. Extra credit. The heaviest turkey ever raised was 86 pounds. How about that?
Goodness gracious.
Impressed the guests.
I got an 86-pound turkey.
Tons and tons. Fit that in your oven. Tons and tons of turkey facts during the Wib Wake Up Show. The male turkey is called a tom. Probably knew that. Female turkey is called a hen.
Oh, nice. Okay. Wild turkeys can fly for short distances up to 55 miles per hour.
Highway speed.
And they can run 20 miles an hour. I had no idea. That's really cool.
Say, not as fast as a cheetah, but still very fast, Coop. Very fast for a turkey.
And Les Nessman didn't know this, actually, back in the day, WKRP, but that commercially raised turkeys cannot fly.
To bring that back tomorrow. It's kind of a tradition.
It is. It is.
Tom turkeys have beards. This is a black hair like feathers on their breast. Hens sometimes have beards, too. I didn't know that.
Well, turkeys are sharp eyes. They can see movement almost 100 yards away.
How about that? Turkeys lived long, long time ago. Many, many years ago. They've been around a long time.
They've been around as long as any birds have been around.
There you go.
Yeah. Turkey feathers were used by Native Americans to stabilize arrows. So if you wonder what kind of arrows they were fletching with, I believe that's the term, fletching, right?
You're amazing.
Turkey feathers.
Turkey eggs are tan with brown specks and are larger than chicken eggs. Makes sense.
United States turkey growers raise, get this now, 234 million turkeys each year. Wow. Roughly 46 million are eaten on Thursday.
You've all seen that joke, probably the cartoon where the turkey is looking at the farmer and saying, why is there nothing on my calendar after Thanksgiving?
Poor fellow.
Male turkeys gobble. Hens do not gobble. They make a clicking noise.
They're clicking. Mostly they're going, don't do that, little chicken turkeys.
A couple more.
Gobbling turkeys can be heard a mile away on a quiet day. So it's a loud noise, a gobble.
Yeah, a 16-week-old turkey is called a fryer. A 5 to 7-month-old turkey is called a young roaster. And a yearling is a year old. Any turkey 15 months or older is called mature.
Couple more turkey facts here in the Wib Wake Up Show. The ballroom dance, the turkey trot, was named for the short, jerky steps that turkeys take.
Turkey, turkey.
It's kind of what I look like, Nancy.
Finally, on the Wib Wake Up Show, there are wild turkeys in every state except Alaska.
That would have been a good trivia question this
morning. Fun fact.
Yes.
And June is National Turkey Lovers Month. They didn't think it was appropriate to do it in November, I guess. So, eating turkey does not cause you to feel sleepy after your Thanksgiving dinner. Carbohydrates in your Thanksgiving dinner are the likely cause of your sleepiness.
Oh.
So stop blaming the tryptophan and the turkey.
I know
it. Right. Well, yeah, I think that I learned more about a turkey than I've ever known before.
Consider yourself informed.
And I think I'm going to be a big hit with the sparkling conversation.
And did you know? All right, tomorrow's the busiest travel day of the year. They've said that for years. Planes, trains, automobiles, I guess, showing at the Micon budget. I saw a friend on Facebook saying she was watching it at her house last night. So we're advising here foods you should never eat before a flight. But Caleb, as you said, before a drive, maybe.
Yeah, this is just all about, again, preferring others before yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Realizing that when you're in an enclosed space, things can happen depending on what you eat. And so we're just, again,
It's to help you
we're
plan.
We're tiptoeing around this subject.
Plan ahead.
Yes. These are tips from bestlife.com.
Ways to be kind.
Starting with processed and salty foods. These are things you should avoid. Salty foods and snacks can be unsettling to the digestive system, especially anything with high fat content, which digests more slowly while you're sitting and can create heartburn.
All right. So again, foods you should never eat before a flight or maybe before a drive. How about beans and other legumes? It's fairly common knowledge that beans and other legumes can commonly cause gas after any given meal. But because of the way pressurized cabins on airplanes work, the effects on your digestive system can be even worse once you actually take off. And there is no escaping from you.
Oh, no.
On that flight.
Here's another group of foods you may want to avoid before traveling in a closed space with other people. Broccoli, kale, and cruciferous vegetables. A giant salad may seem like the best option in the airport, but raw vegetables, especially cruciferous vegetables like kale and broccoli, cabbage, can cause more gas. Mm. Since elevation already causes more gas production, raw vegetables are likely to leave you feeling bloated in the sky.
Yeah, I'm just going to add to this. This is just, and it'll leave the other two for you, which is dairy. If you struggle with lactose intolerance, And don't have any dairy before these long drives or the plane flight.
So, again, ways to be kind to others before you travel. Maybe avoid these foods before a flight or long car drive. How about spicy foods? They can irritate the stomach more and cause excess gas and bloating. Uncomfortable. They could increase the chance of extreme stomach discomfort in flight or the discomfort of everyone around you in a small vehicle.
I never thought of that. That's interesting. Okay, this last one is going to be tricky. Sugar-free gum or candy. Chewing gum while flying causes you to swallow air, which can lead to feeling bloated, which, of course, that we know where that ends up. But I have to say, if your ears pop, you need to be swallowing and chewing gum.
That's usually so what people have in mind,
it's
right,
like, with that. Do you want to experience the effects of, you know, the digestive system, or do you want me to be crying, going, ow, my ears?
So I guess you can swallow. Can't that take care of the problem?
I guess swallowing silently, but then you wouldn't get as much attention.
And it does ultimately.
Something we never really thought we'd talk about on this show. Foods to avoid before a flight or a car ride. Again, big, big travel day coming up tomorrow.
Also, don't drink so much because then you have to stop all the time. I'm saying that to myself.